All right, verse number 21. Verse number 21. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, what is that proverb that ye have in the land of Israel, saying, The days are prolonged, and every vision faileth? Tell them therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will make this proverb to cease, and they shall no more use it as a proverb in Israel. But say unto them, The days are at hand, and the effect of every vision. For there shall be no more any vain vision, nor flattering divination within the house of Israel. If I am the Lord, I will speak, and the word that I shall speak shall do what? Come to pass. It shall be no more prolonged. For in your days, O rebellious house, will I say the word, and will perform it, says the Lord God. So we're teaching from this subject of the fear of unfulfilled vision, the fear of unfulfilled vision. Having that fear and that reservation that your visions, your dreams, your heart's desires, and even God's word will not come to pass in your life. This is actually volume 2, and we're on lesson number 8 today. We talked about vision, and we said that vision is not a function of the eyes, but rather a function of the heart. Vision is not a function of the eyes, but rather a function of the heart, because vision is the ability to see what could be. It's ability to see things as they could be, whereas the physical eyes or sight is the ability to see things as they are. So with that statement, we said we should never let what our eyes see determine what our hearts believe. Now, the objective of this series is to equip us in faith and in wisdom and get us focused in fulfilling the dreams that we have and manifesting the visions that are in our hearts. So I'm teaching from the subtopic, the principles of vision, the principles of vision, because we said that not understanding or not knowing the principles of vision is one of the obstacles of unfulfilled vision, where you don't understand the principles that cause it to happen. So principle one, we talked about the importance of being clear in your vision. Number two, principle two, we talked about knowing your potential for fulfilling vision. Principle three, possessing the passion for vision. Principle four, developing a plan for vision. Principle five, developing your faith for your vision. And principle number six, understanding the process of vision. And that's where we left off at our last time together. Turn with me in your Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter number 8. As I just kind of was going back over all of my notes and the things that we have covered and discussed thus far, this is really a good teaching. It really just a well-rounded, informative series if you are serious about your vision. If you're really serious about your vision and it coming to pass, about your dream, your heart's desires, your ambition, things you want to see come to pass. You know, it's one thing to be a part of someone else's vision and see that come to pass, but it's nothing like seeing your own come to pass. And if you really want to see that happen, you know, I just encourage you to invest in the CDs and things that you hear, because that's how your faith is stimulated by what you continue to hear. So last week when we talked about understanding the process of vision, we said that when you attempt to avoid process, everybody say process.
Process.
Say it again, process.
Process.
Then what happened is you missed that period in time that is used to produce change, growth, development, and preparation into your life. Process, during the period or the time of process, that's your season and time of change, growth, development, and also preparation for the vision, the dream, or the desire that you may have. So let's look at verse number 2. We talked about God leading the children of Israel, and in verse 2 it says, And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness. Well, we found out that they became discouraged about the way that God had chosen for them, but it says they shall remember that way which the Lord led them 40 years. Now, why did he lead them now? To humble them and to prove them. To humble them and to prove them. To know what was in their heart, whether they would keep God's commandments or not. God suffered them to be hungry, but he fed them. And he did everything that he did and allowed them to do everything, everything that happened to them. He allowed it because God wanted to see where they were in their heart. Were they really serious about what they had asked him for? Were they really serious about going to Canaan? Are you really serious about this thing that's in your heart, this desire that you have, the vision that you have, your dream? Are you really serious about your marriage relationship? Are you really serious about your career? Are you really serious? And that time process, it proves whether or not you're really serious about what you want. And so based on the changes that I make, the growth that I experience, the development that happens in my life, and the preparation that takes place in my life, I allow to take place, it really proves whether or not I'm really serious about what it is that I'm asking God for. Because some people say they're serious, but when they find out the cost, then you find out they're really not that serious at all. And so process is not designed to prevent your vision, your dream, or your desire, but it's designed to prepare you for that vision, that dream, or that desire. Because he says here, he said, well, one of the things you're going to learn, that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that come out of the mouth of God. So process teaches us to live by the word. It teaches us to use our faith. It teaches us to trust God as our source. Amen? And so we talked about during this time of process, what is produced in our lives. What's produced in our life? Number one, we said experience with God. We gain experience with God. Not experience with trouble and all those kind of things, but experience with God. That's what we gain. Number two, character development. That my character is developed so that I learn to walk in love. I learn how to be kind. I learn how to develop my character. I learn how not to be ungodly, you know, during this time of process. So character development. Establish responsibility. Am I a responsible person? Are you a responsible person? How are you at work? How are you on the job? How are you with assignments that are given to you? Are you a responsible person? How are you managing your home? How are you managing your resources? Are you a good steward? Are you a responsible person? Because you want to manage a company, you want management position and all of that, but you're not managing the small stuff that you have. And if you're not faithful in that which is small, which is least, then you're not going to be faithful in that which is large. Amen. And so this time of process, it teaches me to be responsible. And then finally, it teaches me unwavering trust. Teach me how to trust God during process. Anybody can trust God, you know, when things are fat, as it were, in your life, but in the lean days. Can you really trust God? Because it's easy to make it look like I'm trusting God because I have a good job, it pays me well, and my checks come every week or every month, whatever the case may be. And so it may look like, man, he's really trusting God. But let that stuff stop. Yeah. Then we're going to really see who is it that you've really been trusting all the time. Amen? So principle number seven is understanding the priorities of vision. Understanding the priorities of vision. Everybody say priority.
Priority.
Say it again, priority.
If
you're going to succeed in life, you must set priorities for yourself in relation to your vision. If you're going to succeed, you're going to have to set priorities for your life. And today, you're going to see the importance of priorities, being able to have some priorities and being able to make wise decisions based on that priority. Your life, my life, is the sum total of the decisions that we make every day. My life and your life is the sum total of the decisions that we make every day. What has made you who you are is your choices. It's the decisions that you have been making. Now, there is a saying that says, you came here looking like your parents, but you leave here looking like your decisions. So you may look like your people growing up, but as you get older and begin to mature, then you start looking like your decisions. Matter of fact, you look just like your decisions. You look just like your decisions. So if you don't like where you are in life, you got to make better choices. Amen. Amen. Amen? So today we're going to learn how to do that, and why is it that people make unwise choices, unwise decisions? Why is that? And we're going to find out that my life is not where it is because the devil is busy. But it's where it is because of the decisions that I have been making. Amen? Amen? Now, our decisions are based on, this is good stuff, our decisions are based on our priorities. Our decisions are based on our priorities. So priority is an effective key in decision making. Priority is an effective key in decision making. So if I can understand priorities, then I can make better decisions. I can make better choices. See, you can have a selection of things to choose from, but now that selection narrows down when you set priority. Right? See, the reason people are not making wise choices concerning various areas of their life, because they've not made that area a priority yet. And once that area becomes a priority, then you can make better decisions. See, if education is not a priority, you're not going to make good decisions where education is concerned. If marriage is not a priority, you're not going to make great decisions where marriage is concerned. If your career is not a priority, if your health is not a priority, you're not going to make good decisions concerning your health. You'll be deciding something else when the priority should be your health.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. And we're going to find out, it's not a matter of protecting right decision versus wrong decision, but good decisions concerning the best decision for my life. Amen. Amen. Now, let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 19. And I just want to show you a couple of scriptures that lets us know that decisions will impact our lives. Decisions will impact our lives. Now, here's something you need to understand about decisions. Decisions are long-lasting and life-changing. You can make one decision in a moment of time, and that decision, you can suffer from that decision the next 20 years. Decision is powerful. Decisions are life-lasting. They're life-changing and long-lasting. You make one decision and pay for it for a number of years of your life, and it took you just seconds to make that decision. One decision, one moment to rob the bank, 15 years in prison. One decision. One decision. So decision is powerful, man. You can turn your entire life around just with one decision. It's by making the right choice. But now, my decisions that I make are based on priorities that I set. Don't forget that now, all right? Now, look at verse number 19. He says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you what? Life and death, what else? Blessing and cursing, what else? Therefore, I'll do what? Choose life. Why? Now, he says, Jared, let me get you to stand right on that end right there. And Jackie, stand down here. Now, he said, I set before you life, death, blessing, cursing. And then he went as far as to say, now here's God's position. God say, see, I know how you are, man. I made you. So I know how you are. Soon as things go wrong in your life, you're going to start blaming me. Why God let this happen? Why God let that? I already know that. So what I've done, I've gone before you and I call heaven and earth, told both of them to get their pen out and write this down and record this day against them that I set before them life, death, blessing, cursing. And then heaven, before you put your pen up, write down that I told them to choose life. So they don't ever come, well, God, why you? No, you write it all down so they don't blame me. I don't know why God got me. No, folks. He said, look, I've said it before you. Then I told you which one to choose. Now, so if I choose life, if I choose the blessing, then that's what I'm going to have in my life. But now, if I choose the curse, choose death, then that's what I'm going to have in my life. Now, the blessing cannot just come into my life. Likewise, the curse cannot just come into my life. But decisions that I make and choices that I make, they determine which one of these are going to have the greatest impact in my life. All right? Now let's look at another passage. Just stay there. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 11. He said, if you choose life, he said, both you and your seed will live. Now, what is he telling us, people of God? That the choices and the decisions that you make, they're going to impact the next generation.
Yes. Yes.
If you choose life, he says, both you and your seed, you and your children will live if you choose life. But if you don't choose life, then you and your seed are not going to, you're not going to live. You're not going to have the good life that God promised you. So look in Deuteronomy chapter number 11 and verse number 26. Now look at verse 26. He says, behold, I set before you this day, what?
A blessing.
And what else?
A curse.
What did he set before us?
A blessing and a curse.
Jared represents the blessing. Jackie represents the curse. He said, I've set both of them before you. He says, now watch this. A blessing, what? If you obey the commandment. If you choose to obey, which one of these are you going to have? The blessing. See that? If I choose to obey, what am I going to have? The blessing. Look what he says in verse 28. He says, and a curse, what? If you will not obey. So if I do not obey, what's going to come into my life? The curse. See, I can't blame the devil. I don't even have to ask God. God has already put it in his word that I've set before you the blessing, I've set before you the curse, I've set before you life, I've set before you death. He said, now you choose, but choose life. So it is my choices that determine which one of these are going to have the greatest impact or the greatest influence on my life. You see that? You know, Job 36 and 11 says, if you serve and obey him, put that up for me, please. Job 36 and 11, he says, if you obey and serve him, what's going to happen? You spend your days in prosperity, whatever. Your years in pleasure. That's if I serve and obey God. So if I make the decision to serve and obey, what's going to happen to me? I'm going to spend my days in prosperity, what else, and my years in pleasure. Look at verse number 12. Verse number 12 says, but if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. Now, that's my choice. Come on, I have a choice to obey. And if I choose to obey, then what am I going to have? I'm going to have prosperity in my life. I'm going to spend my days in pleasures. I'm going to have the blessing. Isaiah 1:19. Turn that for me quickly. Isaiah 1:19 says, if they be willing and obedient, they shall do what? Eat the good of the land. Look at verse 20. Verse 20 says, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Folks, it's my choice. It's my choice. Your career can be whatever you choose for it to be. Your marriage can be whatever you choose for it to be. Your business can be whatever you choose for it to be. It all comes down to decisions that we make, choices that we make, until you decide your life is on hold. Decision is the open door to your reality that will be created into your life. So you just got to make better decisions. Now let's look at Proverbs 26 and verse number 2. I want to show you again, just kind of push this point a little further, that it's the choices that I have been making. It's not the devil is busy. Well, the devil just busy. Well, you need to get busy making better choices. If you know he's busy, just stay ahead of his busyness. Amen. You don't fail a test in school because the devil is busy. You don't get cut from the team because the devil is busy. Come on. You don't get kicked out because the devil is busy. What kind of decisions and choices are you making? Verse number 2, as the bird by wandering and the swallow by flying, watch this, so the curse what? Causeless what? The curse cannot come without a cause. The curse needs a cause to come. He said, so the curse causeless shall not come. He needs a cause to come. Likewise, the blessing cannot come unless I give him a cause. When I give him a cause, now what is the cause for him to come? The choices that I make to be obedient. The choices that I make to obey. And when I obey, the blessing comes. Success causeless shall not come. A good marriage relationship causeless shall not come. Amen. Likewise, a bad relationship just can't come. Because even a bad marriage is the result of choices. But it cannot just come. Somebody has to make decisions, and based on those decisions, the door is now open for one of these to come into my life. So you get to decide this morning. What do you want? You want life, you want death, you want the blessing, you want the curse, you want success, you want failure. It's all based on the choices and the decisions that you make, and not the devil. Bible says he goes about rowing, like a roaring lion, going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Why he got to look for somebody to devour? Why he just can't devour everybody? Because everybody's not opening the door for him. But if he find an open door, he go, oh, that one right there, I can get him. I can get that one right. Oh, they just made a foolish choice. I can get that one right there. Are you listening to me? Thank you so much. Now, the decisions that you make every day are greatly influencing, listen to this very carefully, the decisions that you make every day, they are greatly influencing your chances of achieving your dream, your vision, or your heart's desire. The decisions that I make every day, they are greatly influencing whether or not I achieve that vision, that dream, or that desire that God's given. So the decision I make is greatly influencing, you know, whether or not I achieve. Now, it could be influencing it in a negative way, or it could be having a great influence on it in a positive way. But however, the decisions that I make today, they are greatly influencing the manifestation of my dream, my vision, or my desire. So I need to decide things that will bring me to what I'm believing for. And not decide on things that are leading me away from what I'm believing for. But now, if marriage is not a priority, then it doesn't even get factored in the decision making. Right? If being on time is not a priority, it doesn't even get factored in the decision making whether or not I'm going to be on time. Because being on time is not a priority. Amen. Quiet now. Listen to this statement. You have become what you've been deciding. You have become what you have been deciding. Go to Mark chapter 1, verse 16. And in Mark chapter 1, verse 16, Jesus, he talks about the power of making a decision. By your choices, by your decision, your life is going to end somewhere. You can tell where a person's going by the decision they make. Yep. You can tell where a person's going to be in the next 5 years, 10 years, financially, based on decisions that they make. Yeah. Amen. 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 You can tell where the marriage is going just based on decisions that are being made today. You can tell where a person's health is going just by the decisions that they make every day. Amen. You can tell where people are going to be in life. Just watch their choices. Watch their decisions. All right, in Mark chapter 1, verse 16 and verse 17, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea. For they were what?
Fishing.
They were what?
Fishing.
Now, what were they fishing for?
Fish.
Huh? Fish, right? All right, watch this. And Jesus said unto them, come after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. What were they fishing for initially? But Jesus said, if you decide, if you make the choice, you make the decision, I can't make you come. But if you come, now watch this. He says, I will make you to become fishers of men. What is he saying? If you make this decision, your outcome will be different. Your result is going to be different. The end of your life is going to be different. If you make this decision to come after me, you will become. I will make you to become. I will develop you into being fishers of men. Right now, you're fishing for fish. Why? Because that's the decision you made. But if you make the decision to come after me, you become fishers of men. Now, what is he trying to get us to see? That with decisions we make, we're setting up our end result. Oh, my goodness. You are setting up your end result by the decisions that you're making. So if I don't want that in my future, I'm going to change the choices that I'm making today.
Amen.
Amen. I just need to change the choices. Now go to James chapter 5 and verse 12. And there are two words that are going to become very important to us as we hear this teaching, that you need to use more often. And these two words are going to be the most powerful words of your vocabulary. And not only that, but you're going to have to learn how to use these two words with precision. You need to become surgical with these two words I'm going to talk to you about. Because these two words are determining your destiny. That's how powerful they are. All right, verse 12 of James chapter 5. Verse 12 says, but above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath. But let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay, lest you fall into condemnation. Say yes.
Yes.
Say no.
No.
Say it again, yes.
Yes.
Say it again, no.
No.
Let's practice, yes.
Yes.
No.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
No.
Now, if you can manage these two words in your life, you can create an entirely different way of living. You need to say yes to the thing that aligns you with your vision and your dream, and say no to the person, place, or thing that does not align you with what you believe in God for. I did a teaching not long ago on the Canaanite spirit. And we found out that one of the things about the Canaanite spirit, one portion of the Canaanite spirit, of course it deals with a lot of sexual perversion, but then the other side of the Canaanite spirit is this spirit to please everybody. That many of us, we miss out on our life because we can't say no. And you know you have that spirit when you are guilty for telling somebody no. We have to apologize and come up with a summation of why I'm saying no. That's a Canaanite spirit. that you even deny your own self of life because you have to be available for everybody else and what they want. But you got to learn to say yes to the things that lead you, yes to every person, place, or thing that's leading me to my vision, to my destiny, to my purpose, and no to every person, place, or thing. See, some of you are in the situations and predicaments that you're in because you've not been able to say no.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And not just to, not and so I talked about the disease to please. That cancer is not your disease. Heart problem is not your disease. But some people, their disease is they feel they have to please everybody. And so it's always this resounding yes, even when you don't want to. Even when you know you shouldn't. Even when you know you don't have it yourself, but you can't dare tell them no. And you wonder why you're moving further and further and further away from the very thing that's in your own heart. Because you've been telling everybody else yes. Amen?
Amen.
Say it again, yes.
Yes.
Say no.
No.
Now watch this. Whatever takes me there, I need to say yes to it. Whatever takes me away from there, I need to say no to it. There are many alternatives in life. Many alternatives in life. But now watch this. You know, let's say I have $1,000. And with this thousand, I can do this. I can do that. I can do this. I can do that. I can do that. I can do that. I can do all of these things. I have a number of things lined up across here that I can do with $1,000. But now watch this. So there are a lot of alternatives. But now watch how I narrow these alternatives down. What's priority? What's priority? Because whatever is priority now, I'm narrowing down the choices that I have. All right. Now starting out, it looks like I had a whole lot of choices. But once I set the priority right now is to pay the rent. All right. So now this went out the window. This went out the window. This went out. All these things went out of the window. Now, why did they go out of the window? Because I set a priority. And when I set a priority, now I see what needs. Now I can make the best decision with what I have because I have established a priority. And a lot of people, they cannot make good decisions because they've not established priorities yet. Everything is not the same. Everything can't have the same weight. The child going to school cannot have the same weight as another set of rims on the car. Something has to have a priority. You got to be able to say no to this, no to that, no to this, no to that, and say yes to this right here. I remember that was a time I could not say no to a pair of alligator shoes. Just couldn't do it, bro. Just couldn't do it. I'm gonna have on some gator. Now my suit gonna be off the rack. My suit ain't gonna be but $129, but I'm gonna have on some $800 shoes. Now watch this. What's wrong with alligator shoes? Nothing. But for where I was, that wasn't the best thing for me. That's the devil. That's the devil. I ain't looking over there. I ain't gonna look over there. I'm trying to stay in the spirit. Every dime I got, every check I got, every honorarium, I'm down on Shepherd at Michael's Clothiers. Calling Larry. Larry, I'm on my way. Getting me some alligator shoes. Couldn't say no. If that was an addiction to gators, I had it. I went to Gator Anonymous. I stand up. I'm Charles Perry. And I'm addicted to alligators. But I've been free for 2 months now. Wasn't anything wrong with the gators. But paying the house note was not the priority. See, saving was not the priority. And God set me free from those things. Now, that's all I wear now, but I can afford it. I can do it. I don't take away to do it. And I've been having some of the same shoes for years because, you know, they last, boy. I'm telling you, they last. I didn't realize how long they last. Them things last, man. Anyway, so now look. I was in the barbershop and a guy said, he said, I go in there sometime, get my hair cut, and he said, man, I wish I had me some gray gators. And I know I had 2 pair of gray gators. I said, what size you wear? 8.5. I said, shoot. I said, I tell you what, I'm gonna hook you up. So I went to the house to get him a pair of them gray gators. And when I looked on the shelf, the Lord said, give him all these. I gave him about $6,000 worth of gators. But now here's what's sad, because I told him up. While I'm shining them, getting them ready for him, now I paid this for this. But how is it all together? About $6,000 worth of shoes. But here's the unfortunate thing. I didn't even have $6,000 in the bank. But I got $6,000 invested in some doggone alligator shoes. Now, what about you? You got an $800 purse and don't even have $800. Your whole outfit, you don't even have that much money in the bank.
Wow.
But you look good.
What's up?
But see, your priorities are out of whack. Because there's nothing wrong with custom suits. There's nothing wrong there's nothing wrong with that stuff. Nothing wrong with another car. There's nothing wrong with, but is it the best thing for you? It's not a matter of right or wrong. It's a matter of good and best. Is that the best for you right now? The best for you right now may be a used cash car. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I'm not trying to talk you out of having God's best. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. God's best is based on where you are right now. God's best is not necessarily a Mercedes. God's best for you may be a Camry. So you don't like that? Yeah, nah, I believe for the best. That's the best for you in your house right now. Hello? There's nothing wrong with rims. No rim, $2,500, $3,000. Nothing wrong with that. But you ain't even got that in the bank. You even have life insurance, and you got some $2,000 rims on your car, and don't even have a life insurance policy to be buried. Now we got to build a box, because here's what I'm going to do. We're going to build a box, and we're going to slap them rims on side of it and roll you down this aisle. That's what we're going to do for you. That's what we're going to do for you. That's what we're going to do for you. And I hope they spinning. So when they sit up here, See? Folks, 288, Highway 288. You have what? Airport. What else? Alameda, Orem, Reed, 518, 2234. Let me ask you a question. Which one of these exits are bad exits? None of them. It's There's nothing wrong with the exit. All of them are legitimate exits that will lead you somewhere. But 518 may not be the best for where you're going. Yeah. 518 may be leading somebody else to their destiny, but taking you away from your destiny. Amen. So it's not a matter whether it's good or bad, but is it the best for you? And we get all out of whack with our vision and we sell a doggone family. Because we're pursuing something and haven't set a priority yet. You are so determined to have your own business to where you cannot even prioritize. Prioritize. I've been hitting that all night. What is it? Because I used to say prioritize. That's what I thought. I mean, one day I was somewhere, I said, yeah, see, you just have to prioritize. You know, trying to be big, but Lil had a hold on me. It's prioritize. Prioritize. All right. See, okay. But so, are you doing what's best for you and your family right now? Because right now, the priority needs to be taking care of your family. Not steady throwing money away at this dream. See, I know you don't like to hear that. See, your wife been telling you. I'm telling you now. She working three jobs, and every little dime she get, you take it and sink it in this thing. And right now, that's not best. Amen. Amen. Well, she won't support you. You can't support nothing. She won't support you. Who you think paying these lights be around here? You ain't got no income. She won't support you. Well, you think this food, Jesus didn't come by and ask God to bless this and fish just showed up? Who you think bought this fish? I won't support you. That's all I've been doing. Is it supporting you? Amen. You need to be dragged and taken outside and shot. But you ain't even worth the bullet. You know, ain't no need to waste no good bullet on you. See, see, you out of order. You out of order. Amen.
Amen.
Been that, done that. Ask me how I know. Y'all don't. Poor woman just, you know, she just putting it all out there. Then you got the audacity to want dinner and sex. You got to make a choice. You ain't going to get both. You going to make up your mind what you want today. You ain't getting both. You ain't getting both. Not today. See, let me tell you something, folks. See, nobody says anything about stuff like this in church. We just want to talk about Moses and talk about Daniel, and none of that stuff means anything to you, but this is where we live at. And somebody got, because if nobody ever confronts it, it'll never change. We got to have balance.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Everything cannot have the same weight. Something has to take priority.
Yeah, that's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, what about my dream? What about my vision? In due season. It shall come to pass. It shall not lie. But right now, we have other priorities. And that's why some people, their vision can't come to pass. Dream will never manifest because we haven't set a priority. And until you set a priority, you will continue to make bad choices. Because our decisions are based on priorities. What's a priority for you? Amen. Because your life is the result of the choices that you make. You are where you are because of the choices that you have made. Now, we know everybody that's incarcerated is not guilty. We know that, right? So I want to say that for the record. But for the most part, a greater percentage of the people that are incarcerated are there not because the devil is busy. But they're there because of the choices that they have been making. It's choices got them there. Choices got them there. I am overweight because of my choices. Now, see, I have to say me, because if I say that about you, see, I'm not going to get mad and not come back next Sunday. I'm coming back. So I can say I'm overweight. I'm overweight, but I'm overweight not because of the devil. It's the choices that I have made that got me overweight. Amen. But you are where you are because of your choices. Your yard looked like it looked. Because here's what choices does. Here's what choices and decisions do. They determine where you are, what you value, and who you are. Amen. You got to make better choices. But you see, it's one thing to hear that, but you'll never make better choices if you don't set priorities. What do we need to be doing now? The vision's going to come to pass. It's going to happen. But what do we need to be doing now? What's the priority now? Amen?
Amen.
Mary and Martha, Jesus showed up at the house. And Martha, she's over here cooking and getting food ready and all of this. And look at Mary. Mary's over here getting the word. Watch what Jesus said. Because Martha got upset. She said, Lord, don't you care that I'm in here working by myself? Make my sister come in here and help me. And Jesus' response is this: Martha, 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 you're troubled about so many things. Watch this. Only one thing is needful. That you're doing stuff now you don't even need to be doing. And Mary has chosen the good part. She's chosen the best part, which will never be taken away. You wasting your time on stuff that's not going to get you anywhere in life. Are you wasting your time and throwing your life away on people, places, and things that are not going to lead you the way you're trying to go? Amen.
Amen.
You want to be married. But look at the decisions you're making today. Look at the choices you're making today. Amen.
Amen.
You want to be out of debt. Look at the decisions you're making today. How you going to get out of debt with the decisions that you make? You know why you make those decisions? Because getting out of debt is not a priority. It's not a priority. See, we talk a good game. We say one thing. But a lot of times we don't know why we do what we do. And I'm telling you now, that's because it's not a priority. Man, me and my wife believe in God for a house. And look at the choices you're making today. Are you really believing for a house? You're not putting anything back. You're not saving a down payment. You're not getting your credit straight. How are you believing for a house? Oh, you just going to run up on somebody. They're just going to let you have one. I see. You're going to take the spiritual way out. I'm just believing God. And you know what? And there we go again. you're in that same trap where you ain't learned nothing. You're going to lose that one too. Because you've not gone through the process. You keep getting bailed out of the process. And I've learned to stop being the bail bondsman for people. No. Say no. Say no.
No.
You got to learn to say no. So people can go through their process. You can't keep rescuing people. See, as long as I keep putting pillars up and softening the blow of you running into the wall, you're going to keep doing it. But let me move them pillars. Amen.
Amen.
Well, they're going to be mad at me. They're going to be upset. They know I got it. That don't mean I have it for you. The bank got, there's a reason the bank won't give it to them. They got more than you. The bank won't give it to them. I wonder why the bank won't give it to them. Now go to the bank and cuss them out. Amen.
Amen.
Here's the message, folks. You gotta set priorities. Because it's only when you set priorities you can make better decisions. If decisions are driving my life, I need to make better ones. But in order to do that, I gotta set priorities. What's important today? Amen?
Amen.
Maybe I need to put the business on the shelf. And establish a priority. Amen.
Amen.
Maybe we don't need that right now. Maybe we don't need this right now. Amen.
Amen.
We got to establish a priority so we can make better decisions. Amen.
Amen.